You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And my name is Rob, and we do welcome you, and we thank you. Hope you're having a great day. Appreciate you spending a few minutes with us for this episode number 914.
Definitely. Also want to say a big thank you to the Women in Drones group, who has been giving us thanks for giving away some annual memberships for them to work with.
Yep.
So thank you very much, ladies. Really appreciate that. Also, thank you to everyone who has subscribed to the show. And to those of you who have left a review, I really, really, really appreciate that. I think we're up to almost 250 on iTunes. If you could leave us a review, I would greatly appreciate it. And I think after you hear today's show, it may give you reason or it may give you pause to give us a review, as we're going to kind of go through the comprehensive what you need to know about mapping. There have just been so many questions in the Drone You community, and there's, you know, I'm really grateful that today's caller asked this question, but I'm really grateful because I think it's an opportunity to really clarify what's going on with mapping, as so many people are like, oh my gosh, mapping is the way to get in. Mapping is probably one of the most technical things to do with drones. Even though it may seem easy, the perspective seems easy, right? You just press a button, autonomous flight, and boom. Well, it is not that easy. So we're going to be talking about all of that and so much more today.
Yeah, and that kind of depends on what you're... Because mapping means a lot of things, right? That's a pretty broad term, actually.
It really is.
So I suppose we'll go into that as well a little bit.
Yeah, and luckily we're almost done with that content of what can you legally do with mapping in all 50 states. We're almost done with that. We've got about 30 states done where we've got official answers from every state surveying board. And it's really fascinating. You can do so much with a drone. It is incredible.
Huh. So, legally is what you're saying.
Like, yeah.
In terms of surveying.
Well, not in terms of surveying. You know, ALTA and plot surveys are what you always need, you know, a licensed surveyor to sign off on them. Mm-hmm. But if you know what surveyors are looking for to measure accuracy and you can showcase to them, here's how you check accuracy, all these things that you would know if you came to our mapping class. And those things, if you're able to provide that information and communicate the value, it's very, very easy. But a lot of people are just trying to communicate the value and they don't understand the necessary steps and workflow that you need to do in order to get highly accurate maps or highly beautiful and detailed maps.
Yep.
So really excited for that. And so much more today. Also want to give a special announcement really quick, guys. We're halfway sold out. Actually, a little bit, 16 out of 25 is more than halfway sold out. We only have a few spots left for the NTSB training. That's the training where DroneU partnered up with Pix4D to offer an accident reconstruction or crash scene reconstruction training. Yes, it will be an experience unlike anything. Someone asked me, they're like, I heard that the NTSB still has TWA Flight 800. In the hangar, can I see it? And the answer is yes, but no, you can't take pictures. And if you take pictures and you post them online, you will be kicked out of the class and you will not be able to return to the training center. Just wanted to clarify that.
That's best case.
Yeah. There are federal police there. So
right.
Anyway, be on your best behavior, boys. So, right. And don't think donuts and coffee are going to help, because they're not.
Ooh. That'd help me.
2 weeks ago, I would have said yes.
Yeah. Well, not the coffee part. Anyways, all right, let's listen to the question.
Hey, guys, this is John Reynolds from Connecticut. I just started an early business, Andromeda Media Solutions, and we're a startup company that's specializing in drone. And we also do post-delivery services when realtors don't know how to upload online, stuff like that. But my main question is, even though we have a few market niches, I want to do mapping. Real estate is a low-hanging fruit, and we concentrate on that for now, but we need to scale the company and grow. I was just wondering, what's the best programs first? You mentioned a few in the couple of the podcasts. I tried Drone Deploy. for my 4K. And that does plan health and a lot of other things. But I was also wondering, is it better to take, there's a unique 520 out there, which is a multiple, I think it's a hexacom or eight propellers. Because I haven't checked it into it just briefly, but I want to know what that's CGO3T camera with the low infrared right, and it does good multi-spectrum too. It's a dual camera. Would that be the better drone to get, or maybe a Typhoon H and just put that on it? Or does DJI have a platform that just is much better than Uniques? Because DJI is my Phantom is much better than any of the 4K pluses or anything like that. So anyways, I was asking, you know, two-part question, you know, what is you think is the best for startup business to start getting at the mapping and maybe even agriculture, even though in Connecticut there's not a whole lot, but we do have cows and, you know, they might also be able to do stuff too with all the dairy and stuff like that. So I don't want to make the question too short. So that's a two-part question. You know, what software should I team up with in mapping and how should I do about it? And secondary, which drone would be the best at, you know, overall mapping for construction and agriculture? And so far the H520 seems the best because of its camera and its 360 degree view and a lot of other features it has. So I'd love to hear from you.
Thank you for the question, John. Really do appreciate it. And really could go a lot of directions with this because he kind of covered a lot in that 2.5 minutes.
So before we get into the two-part question of, and I have to be able to remember this, what is the best drone for construction ag? You cannot do those together well with the same drone. So I'm just going to clarify that right now. Number two, in your question, you said I can do reflectance or vegetation health mapping in drone deploy. No, you can't. It's not accurate. So you need an actual multispectral sensor to do that, and that does not come on the Uniques. So I'm just going to say this really, really fast because this is something that's really been getting under my skin. So many people are coming out and saying that they know what they're talking about with mapping. Don't be like me. Don't be like me and go out and try to learn it yourself. Don't be like me and try to go out and challenge yourself by doing different mapping missions without fundamentally understanding how many different variables there are in gathering data and processing data. The best advice I could give to you from 2 years of heartache from me is that go take a class. This is why we offer three, and they're going to be turning into 4 day long classes, because the amount of detail that is in mapping is astronomical. I mean, literally something as simple as an overcast day can mean the world of difference when you're cleaning up a point cloud and choosing between the three point cloud cleanup tools, like the clipping tool or the clipping box, or the point cloud editing tool, or the image annotation tool, depending on what you're trying to do. Now, that being said, it is so important to understand that there are fundamentally two parts of mapping. There's the acquisition side. You use an application to fly an autonomous route to collect data in a particular way to get information for a particular kind of deliverable. Actually, how you should be starting is, what is my deliverable? How am I going to process it? What flight plan should I use? That should be your train of thought, not what flight plan should I use? How am I going to process it? And then, oh, I'll just figure out what deliverable I'm going to do.
Makes
no,
sense.
Don't do that. Sorry, another mistake I made. Don't be like me. Okay. Don't be like me. Okay. It's okay if I make fun of myself here, okay?
No, I like it. And I like how passionate you are about this.
Well, you know what, Rob? I'm just sick of people, like, they don't understand the brevity of the situation. If you go out and you say you know drone mapping, like, you make the mistake that I made 2 years ago where someone asked me to map a golf course and they're like, I want it in State Plains, Central, blah, 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 Georgia. And I was like, what? And I said that on the phone. I know I lost the contract right there because I had not educated myself on different state plane coordinate systems. So, oh man, this is getting intense. Sorry. So you have to understand the brevity of the situation. If you do not fully understand mapping on the processing side and the acquisition side so that you could demonstrate and communicate how these things work together to get the best type of deliverables for different people, you're going to fail. You heard it from me, you're going to fail.
Because I think what a lot of folks think about when they think of mapping is they think of the models that are built, right? Those are relatively simple.
And 3D modeling is a lot easier than precision 3D mapping.
Correct. And so I think that's one of the gaps that has to be bridged, is that distinction, because a lot of people see the models and the pretty things that move around and you can see it from different angles and all that stuff. And that's not terribly hard, but when you want to start doing stuff with that and measuring and all that kind of stuff, then it really gets difficult.
It does get difficult. It really, really does get difficult. It's actually, yeah, without GCPs, measuring anything is a cluster. You will not get accurate data. Yes, this includes you guys who are doing volumes all the time. If you want to test my theory on your ability to get accurate volumes, I want you to lay a tape measure down and map that area. And I want you to make a polyline with two manual tie points between the end of the tape and the start of the tape, which you know is a given number. And when you find that data, I want you to tell me, when you click scale constraint, what number do you get? How accurate is that number? And then correct the number with a known quantity. Okay, do that. Now, let me ask you, since many people who are doing volumes typically are not doing scale constraints, how are you sure that you're getting accurate volumes? All right, we're not going to go into that. Anyway, brevity of the situation. Don't be like me. Take a class. You know, there are lots of classes out there. I've done as much as I have possibly been able to do to make our class the best. The in-person section of the new classes were launched in September. The new mapping course should be up. I told Joel by December 15th, I'm shooting for December 7th. That's a really long time, but it's the quality of the class, the depth of the class is insane. You'll actually have examples that you can work with online. So as you're watching me, you can run the same data, literally. You can run the exact same data with me in real time. We can process together. You can go through it step by step. I really think it's going to improve your retention of the information and the engagement. Now, part number two, two fundamental different parts of mapping, acquisition and processing. Many different applications are saying that they're an all-in-one solution. You should be wary of an all-in-one solution. What's the old saying, Rob, for all-in-one solutions? If you can get all things done well, but not one thing great, or how does that go?
Yeah, I've not heard that in that context, but yeah, can't be good at everything. And I know what you're trying to get at, and I can't remember the exact saying.
I can't either.
But is the master of, like, you're good at everything,
the
but master
of
none.
One is the few of none. Oh, no.
Little help, please.
Yeah.
No, it has to do with being good at a lot of things, but the master of none, basically.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. A jack of all trades, but a master of
none. There you go.
Boom.
I think that
remembered
might be it.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was painful.
That was painful. All right.
Sorry about that.
But anyway, long story short is that anyone who says, oh, I'm using a mapping application and that mapping application does acquisition and cloud processing, understand that you're fundamentally limited by what you can do with cloud processing. Some companies are getting wise to this and they're hiring people to do the back end stuff that you should know how to do yourself, in order to say that you can reliably output precision maps every time. If you're using an all-in-one solution, there are many of them out there that collect data, you put that data into the cloud, and you get back your map for whatever reason. You should understand that your ability to create reliable, accurate maps is not ever going to be guaranteed with those cloud solutions. Simply put, because you do not have the variables and the control that you would have if you were doing desktop processing. For example, if we talk about Pix4D, a couple things that you can't do in any cloud processing software that I've seen so far. Manual tie points, number one. Number two, ground control points. Number three, manual tie points turned into ground control points because your elevation data on your drone is so bad. Number three, when you go to a class and you learn how precise you need to be in picking images for your ground control points and your manual tie points, you'll sit there and you'll scratch your head and be like, okay, so if I'm spending all this time just to ensure that I'm picking the exact same pixel in 10 images over a set of 800 images, how do I know that someone else is doing that? Well, chances are they're not. And how do you know that someone else has had the training to understand exactly how to do that and how to do that well? How are you sure that they understand that they need to actually pick that pixel as if they were kind of changing a tire, where they're picking and marking images that are kind of taken in a circle around that point to ensure the lowest amount of ellipsoid error? I don't know either. That's why I don't recommend any all-in-one solution. Any cloud solution is not going to give us the data that we want. Now, in the future, you'll probably see drones that can process your data in the field, on site, in real time, maybe even on the drone. I think that's actually where the future of mapping is going, is it's going to be on-site processing. In fact, the example already is the SkyCatch Edge 1 or X1 or whatever they call it, where it's literally doing that on site.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once again, I would be really interested to know what's the workflow, because the workflow in processing and mapping is so important, right? If, you know, we go back to the fact that there are two sides to this, acquisition and processing. On the acquisition side, there are many applications that do a really good job, but you have to understand that there are typically only two or three that are the best. And why are they the best? Okay, you've heard me talk a lot about Pix4D Capture. You've heard me talk a lot about Maps Made Easy. You've heard us talk a little bit about Litchi. I'm sure you've heard us also talk about other applications. You can even do mapping in Kitty Hawk now. There are a lot of applications that can do mapping. I have two pre-installed and updated at all times, and that is Pix4D Capture, and that is Maps Made Easy. Now, there are a couple people who would listen to this and argue that it would be Litchi, and that's fine. I haven't deep dived into Litchi just yet. I want to, now that I know how other people use it. I think it's a great tool. But for me, I'm always using Pix4D Capture. And in fact, one of the few people who I know would argue with me on the Litchi Maps Made Easy thing, we'll have a little competition here next week and we'll figure out who makes the better map.
Ooh.
Bill, I'm coming for you.
Let's record that. So what do you use Capture versus Maps Made Easy for? When do you use one and not the other and vice versa?
So Maps Made Easy is one of the few applications that has what's called terrain awareness. Now, why is terrain awareness so important? Well, if you were to go to a mapping class, you would understand that we don't want to take images at multiple elevations, as it's going to throw off the processing of the software. Is it still possible to process that data? Yes, it is. But with more and more elevations, we're going to have more and more error in the map itself. So in order to eliminate that error, if I'm mapping something that has big hills and valleys, I need to maintain the altitude over those hills and valleys to ensure depth, detail, and accuracy. That's what we call terrain awareness. And with Maps Made Easy, we can actually utilize terrain awareness very well. Is it an upcharge for the app? Yes, it is. Is it worth it? 100%. Now, the next application that I use is Pix4D Capture. The reason why I use Pix4D Capture is twofold. Number one, I love the ellipsis orbit. Instead of like a circular orbit, you can do an ellipsis orbit. I really like that. But more importantly, why I use Pix4D Capture is not because it does a double grid or a polygon single grid, or because it does orbits. It's because it does free flight mode. And free flight mode allows me to capture data in places that other pilots have never been able to capture data. And if you want to learn how to use free flight mode, or maybe you want a 6-page cheat sheet on all the different types of mapping missions and acquisition strategies, you've got to come to one of our mapping classes, because it's a new form that I give out to everyone that explains fundamentally what mapping procedures would you use for what type of deliverables. It is the cookbook, as they would say, for mapping. Now, on the processing side, so we just talked about acquisition, right? You have to take photos in order to process them to create a map. Right? What is photogrammetry? Measuring from photos. I mean, it is literally that simple. So in order to get an orthomosaic, which is all of your images stitched together with high grade of detail, but like a 60,000 foot view, think of that as your orthomosaic. A point cloud, that's lots of little points that have color and detail that also showcase real life objects and create 3D models. Most point clouds never had color. They were never lifelike. That's because they were shot with LiDAR, which is an active sensor, not a passive sensor. So we never had lifelike models. Now, that being said, That being said, processing. There are multiple applications for processing. There's a photo scan. There is Capture Reality. There is Pix4D Mapper. There is Bentley. There is Info. There's a couple more. In the most recent report that I read from a university out of Europe, and I could pull it up because I saved it, and I actually posted it in the DroneU community. So if you're a part of the DroneU community, just search a mapping accuracy or app or mapping processing accuracy, and you should see the article that I posted a while ago. But it actually showcases the accuracy of different mapping processing solutions, why they're accurate, how the differences in accuracy. And Pix4D was number one, and PhotoScan was a close number two. And beyond that, the margin of error was extremely large. The accuracy was not very good with the other applications. But people are still using things like Capture Reality to create really beautiful lifelike models. Now, let's take a second really quick and understand just the quick workflow of what mapping looks like if you were to ever do precision mapping correctly. right? We scout a site, make sure the airspace is good. We make sure we're not flying over people. We go to the site. We lay out GCPs. If you're in surveying, you typically are going to also pull the survey markers and get GPS points for those survey markers. Once we lay out our GCPs, then we're going to lay out typically two checkpoints. The checkpoints are really going to be our check for accuracy, as we're not going to use those checkpoints to geolocate or georeference our map. So we lay out our GCPs, we lay out our checkpoints. Now we're going to use some sort of RTK GPS to actually pull those points. Now, you could use a PPK GPS, which means post-process kinematic. And all that means is that you're pulling a point and then you post-process it later to get an accurate point. The first one, the RTK, you typically have to be connected to a network like NTRIP or the CORS network. When you're doing that, you're typically utilizing an internet connection to get a real-life RTK stream and accurate data set of those GCPs. So now we're going to pull those GCPs. Okay, now we're going to move away. We're going to take our drone out. And if we're doing an area that typically doesn't have a structure, then we're probably just going to fly a double grid, 70-degree crosshatch, and be good with it. Now, if we have a structure, we're probably going to fly a double grid, multiple orbits, and maybe even some facade detail if we have a very large building like what we had at the Veritas Academy at the Austin mapping class.
Oh, that's cool. So they got to learn that.
It was a great mapping class.
Sweet.
Fantastic. Other than the fact that I couldn't breathe or walk, it was great.
Details.
And thank you again, PJ and Josh, for... really stepping up. I really, really appreciate that. If you weren't familiar, I got really sick during that last class. But I was still able to finish the instruction part on the last day. So
yeah, went in, taped it up, and went back in the game.
Yes, yes. And then made some life changes. Anyway, so once we've actually acquired our data, we need to check our data, make sure there's not too much reflectance, make sure there's our exposure is value isn't off. We want to make sure also that we have all of our data. There's good overlap between our images. See, I didn't even talk about overlap. I didn't even talk about the strategies for overlap. Then what we're going to do is we're going to import those, let's say, into something like Pix40, right? We import our pictures, we check the EXIF data, want to make sure that all the GPS information and all of our images were geotagged with that information. Once we go from there, then typically what we're going to do is set a processing area. We set a processing area because we want higher density of the points in the processing area. It's also going to shorten the processing time for that map. Now, on top of that, what we're going to then do is input our GCP information, and now we're going to process step one. Once step one is processed, we're going to go back into our GCP MTP manager, and we're going to mark 8 to 12 images for all of our GCPs. Then we are going to re-optimize after that. Once we re-optimize, then we're going to run step two and three. I typically run step two, clean up my point cloud, and then re-optimize again and run step three. So understand that between step two and three, there's a lot of point cloud cleanup. You're typically going to clean up points in the sky. You're going to clean up points on the ground. You may have some surfaces that have points built up that shouldn't. There's a lot of point cloud cleanup going on. Once you run step three as well, then what you can do is also edit surfaces. So if you want to create a water delineation map, or maybe you want to create a beautiful, nice DTM, then what you can do is actually remove surfaces in your map. Surfaces can be cars. So if you're trying to figure out how water is going to move across a parking lot and there's too many cars in there, you can remove all the cars. That's what we call orthomosaic editing. Whew, I could keep going and going and going. My point is that you have to fundamentally understand just how difficult mapping is, because all those things I just discussed can take 2 to 3 days if you're not familiar with doing it. I've seen someone take 5 hours marking 5 GCPs before.
Wow.
And I didn't even talk about marking the checkpoints. I didn't even talk about re-optimizing and checking my accuracy before running step two. Like, there is so much that goes into this. It's crazy. So that's why I want to make sure that you guys understand that in cloud processing, you're fundamentally limited. So when you ask the question, what are the best applications for mapping? My question in return is for acquisition or for processing. Now, typically, because a lot of people don't know the answer to that question, I would say that you have to understand that you really, if you're going to create reliable, highly precise maps on a regular basis, you're typically going to need an application for acquisition, and you're going to need an application on your desktop for processing. Once again, I always use Maps Made Easy, Pix40 Capture, and I'm using Pix40 Capture for my highly precise maps, and I'm using Reality Capture for my beautiful maps. Whew. Now, he asks another question. What is the best drone for mapping construction and ag? You're not going to get those two things in the same package, at least not for a good price point. So, could you have a good drone to do construction and agriculture mapping? All in one, sure, you're going to be in it for about $15,000. So if you want to do construction mapping and mapping itself, the Phantom 4 Pro is still by far the best drone for mapping, hands down. You asked about the Typhoon H520 or the H520. It's a great drone. It's very beautiful. It's really good if you're in windy environments. So if you're in an environment where you have constant wind, it's definitely going to be better for mapping. But understand, you're probably going to have a little bit more point cloud cleanup work to do because you have a linear rolling shutter on the E90 camera. Now, the next thing that he said in his question was, I've got a multi-spectrum camera on the Seago ET or whatever it's called. No, you don't. Sorry to correct you, but no, you don't. Also, that small thermal sensor is not going to provide nearly the level of data that anyone who's doing real thermography maps would need to make accurate interpretive decisions. Now, that being said, I hear that they're coming out with a new thermal sensor, so I'm really excited to see what Unique is coming out with. Again, thank you, Unique, for giving us some competition to DJI. Any competition, in my eyes, is good.
Sure.
The other thing that he said is he could do a reflectance mapping and vegetation index mapping. Not accurately at all. I mean, it is just a computer projection of what it thinks. It's not accurate at all. You should check out our show with Angad Singh from Pix4D talking about Pix4D and multispectral cameras and what you can do and what you can't do. It's very, very, very important. On top of that, I would say that if you're going to be doing agriculture mapping, you typically need the Soda camera or the Micasense Altum, A-L-T-U-M camera. Luckily, those cameras now work with payload SDK, so if you're flying an M600 or an M210 or an M200, you will be able to fly that camera. That camera has 5 sensors on it and will pick up the data that would be necessary for agriculture mapping. I would say, though, sir, I would recommend you don't go into agriculture mapping as it is extremely expensive, and I don't think that a lot of these workflows that are being talked about and hyped up in the industry have actually been tested with real-life farmers, because real-life farmers only want things that they know are going to affect them in the real life and save them money today.
Mm-hmm.
They can't guess and make, you know, guesstimates, because it will literally affect their ability to feed their family.
It seems like that might be one of the slower, one of the industries that's slower to adopt drone technology is ag. Is that true, or do you think they're catching up as well? Meaning, how much opportunity is there really as far as people that are looking for it? Like construction companies, easy. That's really ramping up. They're mm-hmm. they're starting to really get it.
Well, it's because they don't have anything, you know, getting in the way of their ability to do the work. With agriculture, they're saying that you have to have a Part 137 certificate to actually fly over your crops and drop things from drones, meaning like spray the drones. Mm-hmm.
But for analysis work,
I think it's totally doable. I mean, we have an opportunity in Guatemala to go down there and actually do a class on multispectral imaging and how mm-hmm. to utilize agricultural work. And really what you're doing is you're getting analysis of the areas to really go do soil sample inspections and make sure that typical areas are going to produce as high yielding as other areas. I mean, literally right. That's what it comes down to. It's just yeah. creating efficiencies in the workflows.
Which does equal a lot of money, particularly for large acreage.
Yes,
ag.
It can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it would equate even more money if they had an entire system where they could get the data, interpret the data for the farmer, and then that data just says, hey, go look at these areas and do soil samples, and then depending on what those soil samples mean, do X.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they had recently new Caterpillar tractors, they could just take the data right from Pix4D fields and upload it into their tractor, problem solved. But a lot of people still see that as not a time savings, whereas the, you know, Agris MG1 could go out and spray these areas in a third of the time with extreme efficiencies. You know, you guys got to remember, when we spray fields with planes, we're wasting up to 70% of the material.
Yeah, it's because you have to do it from so high and you're mm-hmm. going so fast, right?
Exactly, and you're spraying yeah. horizontally, not vertically.
Right.
So that's something that we learned a long time ago.
Yeah. So it's a little bit more expensive to get into the ag side of things because of all the equipment that you
need.
It's
also extremely difficult to be accurate consistently.
As it is
with mapping, but a lot of people just get into it and they're like, oh, I know what I'm doing. And you know what? I made that mistake myself, so don't be like me. Like, literally deep dive right away. If you don't, you could literally threaten the success of your business.
Sure. But it is doable. And if that's something that you're interested in, then you can pursue that. I mean, people are doing that. For
true,
sure.
100%.
Kind of depends on where you're at and how much opportunity relative to that there is, at least as far as getting started. Obviously, you can travel, and if you get good at something, you might be in demand to do it, but
true.
The more you have in your immediate area, obviously, the better.
I could not agree more.
Cool.
All right, guys. Well,
wow. That's a lot.
That was a lot of information, very deep, but you know what? I really want to get it out there. And guys, don't be afraid to check out our website, droneu.education. Go down. There's a little wheel after the main header of information. Click events, then click to the right and click go. Yes, I hate that it's two clicks myself. It should just be click events and go. But anyway, long story short, go to events and check out our new upcoming mapping classes. We do have a couple spots left at the NTSB mapping class, which is a very advanced, intermediate to advanced mapping class. In addition to that, we have an upcoming class in Charleston, South Carolina. And we have another class coming up in Las Vegas, Nevada with LVFD. So,
sweet.
Very excited about that.
Yeah, by the way, if you are a member and you've been thinking about one of our mapping classes, there's a little treat for you inside the community as far as the discount's concerned.
Oh, did you post that?
Yeah.
Wow.
For all classes through Seattle.
Whoa.
So.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's going to be open. It's the Cyber Monday / week sale. And so it won't be up there for too much longer, but. Like I said, if you've been thinking about that, now's the time to hop on it and find a city that works for you. And we did get a few comments about getting back to the Northeast. I think that's, I know we've talked about that. We need to get that scheduled as well.
Yeah, Peter, get it scheduled. Probably won't be doing that this time around.
I highly doubt Peter's listening, number one. And number two, I think we might go a different route for finding a location.
No comment. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for supporting us. Just so you know, the whole try Drone You for a dollar is going away. So if you want to try it out, check it out. Gosh, we've launched so many classes this year. We've got even more coming out. I'm trying to get three done before the end of the year.
There's a ton in the queue.
That's that new mapping class. It's the new Don't Crash course.
Got SAR in there.
It's the new SAR course after DJI's little white paper on how it should be done. But anyway, guys, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. Please leave us a review if you could. Take 30 seconds out of your day. Otherwise, share the show with a friend. Let us know what you think. We'll be reporting from New York this week. So check it out and look forward to hearing from you guys later. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
Thank you very much for listening to another epic episode of Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.